Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Passos, an internet radio program conducted by Dr. Damian Goldberg from Los Angeles, California. Damian invites you once a week to share this space to reflect on your work life. How can we achieve results, satisfaction and well-being at work? How can we find balance between our work and personal life? Prepare for challenging dialogue with Dr. Damian Goldberg and his guests, who are thought leaders from all over the world.
Hi, I am Dr. Damian Goldberg. Welcome to our program, PASOS and Means Steps. PASOS is a program that focused on well-being at work. Our goal is to bring guests from all over the world to share ideas, concepts, models, and learn from each other about how we can create organizations that are healthy, where we focus not only on results, but also on satisfaction and well-being. We started at the beginning of the year. For people who are listening to us for first time, we have our first 25 programs in Spanish, and we changed to English in the last 3 weeks. And I am very pleased today to have a very special guest with us, Magda Mook, who is the CEO of the International Coach Federation. Magda was one of the persons, when I shared my idea of starting this program, who encouraged me to do it. So it's great today to be able to invite her to join us. Magda is originally from Poland, has worked globally for many years in many organizations, and instead of giving you a long description of her bio, I am going to ask her to share with us a little bit about how she got to where she is today. The International Coach Federation, for people who are not familiar with it, is the biggest global coaching association in the world, with more than 25,000 members in 120 countries. We have one of our goals is to provide education and a credential system that is our sweet spot, where we went from 10,000 to 14,000 credential holders in just the last year. And I think that is a result of the excellent work that the Magda Mook, CEO of ICF, with her team are doing globally. So with that introduction, I want to welcome Magda Mook, who is a person that I respect and I admire very much. Magda, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I want people to know that I get a chance to meet many people through my global work, and you are a person, and I have shared that with you, that getting to learn about the multiple challenges and the multifaceted experience that you have working, managing an organization as ICF, I get to learn from you and I admire you a great deal. So I want to thank you for joining us and for being with us today.
Oh, absolutely. My great pleasure. And as you said, that I very much appreciate the fact that you shared this dream of the talk show with me at one point. And yeah, exactly, about making it possible. I did encourage you indeed, and I'm very glad I did.
Yeah, and you know that many times people learn from you about coaching topics, and today the invitation is to talk about management. And the part of the International Coach Federation that people may don't know about the multiple challenges that require to manage an organization that have so many different stakeholders, so many different components, and I think can be interesting for people to look at ICF from a different lens. So Magda, let's start by talking about you. How did you get to where you are today? How did you get to be the CEO? You have been with ICF for the last 8 years and doing an extraordinary job. How did you get to where you are today? What would you say were the milestones?
Well, I started with, I have an undergraduate degree in economics and a master's degree in international trade. And part of my studies was also a training in international management and consulting. So I think I got a bug, if you will, for management, and especially in the global sphere, very early on, even if only at the theoretical level. And then I was truly blessed by where I lived and what I did, that I had an opportunity to study outside of my home country of Poland. I lived in several countries before, and my very first real job, if you will, was also for the foreign organization. So I did have the appreciation, I think, from very early on living in the environment of mixed cultures and sometimes challenging environments. In my career, after working for the U.S. federal government for several years, I went into a nonprofit world, and I worked for the organization called the Council of State Governments, which is the nonprofit organization bringing together all three branches of state government. And from there, I was managing international projects there at first, and then I became a deputy director of policy and director of development. And then I moved to the ICF, which I consider being a very important move in my career, as I truly believed in coaching, and when this opportunity opened up, that was just brilliant. But from really just the very, very first job I had, I did operate in very global environment of mixed cultures, of different priorities, if you will, and very, very busy schedules. So I always enjoyed it. I always enjoyed the fast pace. And with the growing through each and every one of the opportunities that I had, I really learned more about not only, there are really two facets in working in any organization, because you do manage the stakeholders, and then you manage your staff. And there are two very important measures, and how you do one really influences the other side equally. A lot. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, and Magda, I am aware that the association that you work for also got an award for the best association to work in Lexington. So that means also that the quality of the work and the quality of the environment of your staff is excellent. So I am curious about how do you create that? How do you create an environment of work to the extent that you got the recognition as one of the best places to work in Lexington?
Actually, it's been one of the best places to work in the entire state of Kentucky.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's bigger
than
Lexington. No worries.
Sorry.
I won't have a stretch. I dare say that this is there are several important facets of it. And what your listeners may not know, that award is being based on the survey filled out by the employees of the organization, not necessarily by the bosses. So it's a confidential survey, and our organization has about 120 employees, and clearly they felt very good about the place where they work. Well, in my opinion, the most important elements are that we do respect each other. We very much respect the clients that we work with and for, and we believe in growing our talent. Our business is to grow people, and our tagline, as you know, Damien, is to bring mission to life. That's what we do. That's how we partner with the clients that we work with. So we are a bunch of very passionate people who are also very well trained, very well educated, very well vested in the field of association management. But the most important part, I think, is that our leadership within our organization truly believes that the greatest asset of the organization are our people. And it shows.
Yeah. I have seen that, Magda, firsthand. I have seen the level of passion of the employees, of the staff. How committed are everybody? Even, you know, like sometimes we make jokes about your working during the weekends, or sometimes when you work during the weekends, I ask you, you know, are you taking Monday? I was asking you that last weekend. You know, are you taking Monday off?
Yeah,
you say,
right.
Oh, I'm traveling somewhere. So I know that people are highly motivated, even other people from the staff, when I send a note on a Sunday without expecting that they will be answering, they did answer. So the question is, what does it take for people to get so much commitment? I see that people love what they do and they're very committed, but you say that you show respect and you focus on growing people and developing people. Do you think that these two are key elements, and how do you develop this? How do they show, or for people who are listening to us, how they can be more effective at that, at building respect and growing their people?
Well, you know, I have a staff of 30, and of course, few of them report to me directly, but I am in charge of a staff of 30. And it is important to know what their passions are and what, as we say, what makes them tick. So taking time to recognize what is it that is so important to them, what makes them passionate, consummate professionals is very important. And something that is often, I think, neglected or maybe not paid attention enough is to truly recognize them for what they do. And I'm not saying, you know, good job, pat on the back. It has to be genuine. It has to be specific. But anytime you recognize people for doing great job, going beyond what is their call of duty, if you will, and just noticing that, this is where you build the loyalty. This is where you build this shared feeling of we're in it together, and every person is responsible for the success of the whole. And in my experience, this is what really makes the workplace a completely different space. People don't come just for the paycheck. They come to share that vision. They come to participate in seeing it happen. And again, the return is the respect, is noticing of it, is sharing of it. And Damien, you know us, you know our staff fairly well. We also really, really have fun together. We laugh a lot. We joke a lot. We work hard, and at the same time, we find time to be a little light and lighter in our approach, because otherwise it could be overwhelming at times. But to me, you know, just true genuine recognition of people's efforts and the accomplishments is what makes it so easy for me, because it does not cost anything really just to be attentive to what makes people being truly engaged in whatever their job might be.
Yeah. Do you know that we were talking last week? I teach a lot of classes for managers, and some of the programs are about building skills and coaching skills for managers. And many times I ask to the participants of the programs, and when we talk about feedback, because many times in the component of feedback is about providing feedback when something is not working. So I ask,
exactly.
How many of you consider that you are effective in providing positive feedback, reinforcing feedback, recognizing people for the work that they do? Please raise your hand. Nobody raised their hands. It's very rare that people will raise their hands, you know. And I do believe that this is one of the things that I see the most common as an area for development for managers, is recognizing their people. Sometimes in some cultures particularly, people think, okay, they're doing their job. We don't have anything to recognize because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But instead of thinking that way, instead of thinking, okay, if somebody is doing an extra step or is showing commitment or interest, just to provide positive reinforcement, make a big difference in terms of how people can relate to the work that they do.
Well, you know, that's very true. But also, what's wrong with recognizing people for doing their job? How are they supposed to know if they are doing it right or wrong? Yes, if they don't have a feedback. They always hear when something's not working. What about the very easy step of letting them know that they are right on target? It's just amazing. It's, you know, we know it from positive psychology. We know it from every other field and neuroscience as well, that it takes – people do remember scolding. People do remember when they are being told that they are not doing their job. They don't remember being told that they are doing a good job in the same manner. So we even have to be more conscious of giving the praise, of course, when it's deserved, and balance it out with the feedback that perhaps suggests an improvement. And, you know, to me, you know, Damien, that I'm completely psyched about the systemic approach to everything. So the principle of exchange is extremely important. If people are giving their best, then they need to be recognized for them, for that. And it does not have to be above and beyond. It's they've been hired for a job, and they need to be recognized for it. It really is quite easy when you're genuine at that. And I, for once, learned to have an amazing pleasure of being able to deliver that feedback to the staff, either individually or in a larger group, because they do deserve it. And if they do, why would I hold it back?
I agree with you, and I heard over the years that you do different activities, fun activities for your staff, from getting pizza, I heard, a couple of weeks ago, to some project that you have done using creativity to do different celebrations. I have a question, Magda. I know that your job is very complex, and working closely to you, I learned to really appreciate and be admired for the amount of challenges that you have to face on a daily basis. What do you think is the part that I know that many coaches are listening to our show or will be listening to our show? What is the part that you think that coaches don't know about what's happening internally in an organization as ICF? What do you think would be interesting for people to know that is not about coaching or about the program or about credentials, but it's about managing such a complex organization? What is the side of ICF that people don't know?
Right. I think that the most challenging part is that, as you said, we are a proud organization of 20,000 plus members in 113 countries. And as you can imagine, with population that broad, there is not a single decision that can be liked by everybody. So typically, whenever the board or the staff makes a decision or implements the policy that has been established, somebody is very happy and somebody is quite unhappy, and there is a broad range in between. The in-betweens are typically fairly quiet. The happy people let us know, and the unhappy people let us know. So what's super important is to listen. To listen to the concerns, to listen to what might transpire to people, and be able to explain. We learned very early on that, especially with coaches, the what is important, but
I think we lost you with the internet connection. There. I think we lost Magda. Let's see if she called us again. For people who are listening to us, Magda was covering some of the challenges she is facing as a manager working globally. And what she just shared with us was what happened when the decisions that the manager make or other stakeholders or the board of directors of an association in this case, people don't like it or don't agree with that. And I have seen that how managers need to deal with the decision-making processes, the decision-making of the it could be from the manager that is making a decision or decisions that are made by somebody else and they need to implement. So this can be very challenging for managers, particularly when people are not agreeing or when people don't understand what's going on or why it is happening. And as Magda said, a key issue, a key strategy to deal with disagreement or lack of commitment or lack of understanding is listening. By listening and by showing understanding, people can get at least to know that the manager, the CEO, or the person who has to implement the decision cares. People want to be heard. People want to be understood. That doesn't mean that we may agree, But my experience many times is when the board of directors make a decision and then some people don't agree, and listening to them and showing that we're understanding their perspective, even though we may not agree, but by just listening and showing interest and showing care and showing understanding, that many times makes people be more open to what are the possibilities, or at least to be heard. Meanwhile, we wait for Magda to get back online, and I think we have her back. Can you hear us?
Yes, I don't know what happened. I was just delivering the most passionate speech of my life, and suddenly nobody's listening.
Oh, okay. We lost you for a couple of minutes, and I said the summary.
I'm so sorry.
About what you were saying, particularly about the dealing with people who have different opinions or didn't agree with a decision.
Yes.
And what do you do as a manager when you have to implement decisions that made by other people? In your case, many times you need to implement decisions made by the board, and I know that most of the time you agree with this decision, but sometimes managers have to implement decisions that they may not even agree. I was emphasizing the importance of listening. Now, I am curious about what you were talking, that you were very passionate. So tell us again.
All right, sir. So, yes, listening is super important, but also, and I'm giving you a Reader's Digest now, to be very clear, not only what we are doing, but why. The reasoning of why certain decision is made often puts the dispute to bed. People may not agree with the final decision, but if they understand where the thinking came from and how the decision was made, suddenly it makes such a different sense to them. So, and it is also, you know, respectful of each and every person to let them know that this is not disrespectful to their feeling or their position. It is that certain decision is what's best for either the organization or the profession as a whole. And again, with 20,000 plus members, rarely can we make sure that everybody is happy. And we often use that phrase, talking to our members as well, saying, listen, often as an organization, we have to do what's best for majority, and yet we are here to listen to your concern, to make sure that we take it into consideration next time this topic comes up.
Yeah. And what is interesting, Magda, is that many times as managers, listening is key, and particularly when the people we are talking to don't listen back to us. That can be challenging when we are listening to them, but they're not listening to us, particularly coaches who are supposed to be effective at listening.
This is very true, because I think that sometimes coaches are using all their listening patience and space while they work with the clients, and then they want to be the ones listened to while they talk to me or our staff. And it's great. It's okay. You know, sometimes all you do is sit back and just listen, and it's all right. As a manager, again, you don't have to be right. You just need to make sure that you come true to a person you're talking to. And sometimes all it takes is just to sit there and listen and let people talk themselves through the problem. Don't convince them. Don't try to change their minds. Let them talk. And often at the end of a conversation, I have to say, which is so brilliant, they will say, like, thank you, it was the most helpful conversation for me. Good. I didn't say a word. They just work it through, and that's great. That's great.
That is a great tip for people who are listening to us today. In the listening, sometimes they say that in the speaking there is a healing. So many times, just by being heard, that makes a big difference. And that happened with our clients as coaches, but definitely in organizational matters. Magda, one of the key challenges for a CEO of a global organization is have to deal with multiple stakeholders with different needs, different expectations, How do you do that? Because you have the staff, as you said before, then you have the members, you have the board members, who sometimes I know can be challenging to work with. What else? And then you have partners. You have a lot of different people in the community that you're working with. How do you manage that complexity? This is one of the things that I admire about you, but I am not sure how do you do it.
Well, actually, the answer to that is very easy. We do have a brilliant purpose and a vision for this organization. So no matter what we do, we just check it against that very vision in, to help humanity flourish. We advance the art and science and practice of professional coaching, and what we want to see in the world is the coaching becoming integral part of society and ICF members being the best of the best. That is the beacon, that is the filter, that is what makes my job actually easy, because whatever it is that people come to us with, a proposal, whatever it is that we would like to reach out to others to do together, this is what's first and foremost in our focus. Is it helping the profession? Is it helping our member coaches? Is it helping in general humanity flourishing? So when you stay true to that mission and you always have it right there in front of you, then you can find the language and the language may be very different. You're very, very right about that. I can tell you with great certainty that I use very different vocabulary talking to members, talking to business partners, talking to maybe other coaching organizations or other organizations in general that we work with. I do use very different vocabulary, but in the heart of it, still is the mission and the vision of the organization.
What I'm hearing that is important is for when you're dealing with such a level of complexity, by being clear about what is the mission of the organization, what is the strategy, and guiding your decisions, your interaction, your work around these core strategies that really help you to be in some way grounded in terms of how do you manage all of these complexities. So
absolutely.
For people who are listening to us, what I want to reinforce is whatever is the mission of your organization, by bringing that to people's awareness and consciousness, and by you being clear about what it is, it will help you to anchor your decisions.
And I have to tell you, it makes my job so much easier because I wholeheartedly believe in that. So I don't have to fake it. if you happen to work for the organization that you quite are not bought into the mission, get a coach and perhaps find out if this is the right place for you. But one last thing that I would add to it is that it is also super important that my entire staff, from a secretary to a director to the assistant executive director, everybody is very, very familiar with that mission. So they can truly feel that we're working for a common goal. If you don't have that, if they can't tell you what the organization is all about, then perhaps there is a beautiful space for you to step in and really bring them to that mission, because it's going to make it easier for you to be a manager, and it's going to make it much easier for them to be a part of a team or to leave the team if they don't agree with it.
Interestingly, Magda, my experience doing assessment centers, I don't do that anymore, but for many years I worked for companies assessing executives, finding out what were their strengths and what were their weaknesses, and many times strategic thinking and doing exactly what you are saying is bringing the mission to life, getting the mission in the awareness of everybody, making decisions around the priorities, around the strategic planning and around the mission is what is missing. So what you are bringing is a really key skill and a really very important competence that many times is missing. So I think that is something else for people to pay a lot of attention. The last question to start wrapping up, and if anybody wants to give us a call, you can reach us and ask a question to Magda. The number is in, you can see it if you are with us now in the internet, it's in your screen is 347-324-3443, 347-324-3443 is a telephone number where you can call us if you want to ask a question to Magda live. You can also send your questions through the chat room if you have the ability to open it, and you can also send some questions that way. What I want to ask you, Magda, is about the global aspect, because nowadays CEOs have to deal with people working globally, virtually. How do you manage that part of your work?
Actually, that's the part of the work that I love the most. It's just brilliant. You learn so much about yourself through the lens of a different culture. As I said, I had good fortune. Of course, I am born and raised in Poland. Now I reside in the United States. I studied in Denmark. I lived in Kuwait. I visited just about the entire universe. And to me, that's just a sheer pleasure. Learning about other cultures, learning about how to interact with other cultures. And just a little plug for ICF, last year we held an event about cultural competence in coaching, but I think it's with our global society these days, it's just so important that we all are very aware of our own culture and also being curious about other cultures. It's not that one culture is better than the other. It's just the curiosity and respect for other cultures that makes it so, so rich, because I think we can learn so much from each other. Even Damien, remember sometimes during the board meetings, we have people on the board from multiple countries, and we just talk about the little habits, little celebrations, little customs. And they are very different in different countries. And then isn't it lovely when everybody tries to remember about it and just show respect to the other person by remembering the little custom from their country? And to me, I just absolutely love it about the job because we are so open and we are so... We are sponges, and my entire staff, really. Most of the staff is located in the United States. Several of them are outside. And that ability to being exposed to other cultures, to learn about it, to learn to appreciate it, and as I said, respect, even if we sometimes do something which is not culturally great for others, this is the learning experience, and as long as we're open with it and to it, I think that's just absolutely beautiful, and I enjoy this aspect very, very much.
One part is being aware about what can be these cultural differences. Anything in particular that you train your staff to be aware of when they're working with people who come from different cultures, who may have different ways of working or relating or thinking? How do you, and I know that the staff have been trained on that, but
yeah.
What do you think are the key elements for people who are listening to us today in terms of managing with a global perspective? What do you think would be two or three key aspects to keep in mind?
Right. First, I think, is to understand the dynamics of talking to people for whom English may not be their first language. Some people, and it depends on the educational system, really, and where they got their training, some people may be more indirect in the language that's not their own or not their mother tongue. Some people may be more direct. And I remember early on, some of my staffers were coming to me, in tears because this person said this and this person said that. And I said, yeah, because they are from a culture which is very direct. It's okay. It's just the way they are. So listening for the message rather than listening for a style is a really important thing, and especially, as I said, from people for whom English may not be the first language. Some of our staff is multilingual, but definitely not all of that. The second is especially for our U.S.-based crew, we need to really teach them the value of silence. it is very important in many cultures. You let things be. You let time to pass as people digest what was said, and just let it, you know, let it sit in between. Silence is good. Silence is not awkward for some, especially of our younger employees. It was a little bit of a surprise and new learning. And the other thing is that that deep listening is really, and not trying to be right, is really, really important. Just to listen, and listen for maybe, because sometimes we all know that sometimes we're not very clear of what our issue is until we talk it through. So listen for the meaning, listen for the real question. I remember early on, you know, people would answer emails and the staffers would come to me and would say, well, you know, this person sent a question and I answered and they came back with 15 more questions. And the response was, okay, did you read the question for what it was just on the surface, or did you try to understand what was behind it? And by now, I have to tell you, the answers from our staff are probably lengthier than one would require, but they try to anticipate what may be behind the question.
Yeah.
And it works. It works.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. It's about being able to connect with people, to try to figure out exactly what they want or what they need. And I know that your staff is very effective at doing that, particularly sometimes with very complex processes for credentialing and another process that can be complex. So, Magda, we need to wrap up. This has been really great. Is there anything you want to say to finish the session, any other tip or any other idea for managers who may be listening in terms of how to be effective managing this kind of complex organizations, any other tip or anything else that you think is one of your secrets to be so effective and you have helped grow, I say, very much in the last 3 years?
You know, I think that it's going to be, you would think that perhaps it was the because of the position I hold, but I will tell you all, guys, the training and coaching skills is amazing to be a better manager. I am a trained coach. I'm trained in all sorts of modalities, but just the basic training in coaching skills, in ability to listen, in ability to provide feedback, in ability to have direct communication, setting goals, it's brilliant, and it's been helping me being an effective manager definitely in a major way. So I would encourage you to at least take a quick look and see if that's something that you would like to pursue. And if nothing else, if I can leave you with one tip and one tip only, just listen. Listen to what's happening around you. Listen to your managers. Listen to your employees. Read their body language. Sometimes you read so much more from that than from words that they care to share. And just be on the positive, because it's all good.
Thank you, Magda. Really, really appreciate you being with us today. I want to thank you again for the wonderful work that you do for the International Coach Federation. And I think that we share very good ideas for people that they can implement to be more effective managers. And I think that this has been very helpful. So I want to thank you, our listeners, for being with us today. If you want to share this tape, the recording, you can share the recording. You can find it in my social media, in LinkedIn or in Facebook, at the Global Consulting Group, with a link. And also I want to invite you to share with us, to be with us next week on the 29th. We are going to have Julio Olaya, who is going to be talking Yeah, we are very lucky to have him next week. I think it's going to be also a great session. And he's going to be talking about how he sees the future of coaching and learning in organizations. That is going to be our topic. So don't miss it. It's going to be great. And Magda, one more time, thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. My great pleasure.
Okay. Have a good night.
All right.
This is the end of PASOS, conducted by Dr. Damian Goldberg. Thanks for sharing this program with us today. We hope you find today's conversation challenging and stimulating. You can download this program and share with your colleagues in our website.